السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة عماد الدين، فمن أقامها فقد أقام الدين، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. My respected elders and friends, all praise are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer, to have blessed us with this Mubarak blessed day of Jum'ah and this blessed deen of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the realities of these in our hearts and the hearts of all mu'mineen. Respected brothers, a few weeks ago, alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity of discussing the aspect of wudu and what wudu really entails, and how should wudu be performed so that we can purify ourselves for the salah. That is a physical aspect that one has to do before coming to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before beginning the salah also, respected friends and brothers, that there are some conditions. There are some conditions that inshallah, if we take notice and care of these conditions, then inshallah, thereafter, if we perform a salah that is acceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah that salah will be a means of us drawing from the treasures of Allah. That salah will be a means of, you know, overcoming all our problems. Because this was the method, this was the way, and this was what was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then any problem you have, resort to salah. Any problem Sahaba ikram had, they used to resort to salah. They never went to the people of the world and to the ministers or to the presidents and the kings and the bank managers. They always went to Allah because they realized that was the source. That was the only source. But prior to them standing in front of Allah, they were also cautious of many things. They took into consideration many things also. Sometimes we overlook these little things. You know, like I mentioned, that wudu is such an important aspect as far as our deen is concerned. You know, it's like someone that performs an operation, a surgeon is performing an operation, and if he's negligent as far as the scrubbing of his hands is concerned, then you know what can happen? It can happen that there's something drastic can happen. If he's not conscious, if he thinks that this is very insignificant of scrubbing up before surgery, then it can lead to other circumstances. Similarly is wudu also. If we are very, you know, we just treat it very lightly, then what we want to derive from this salah, we will not achieve. We will not be able to achieve. So wudu is also very important. And like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَجٌ وَلَكِ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَحِّرَكُمْ. Allah wants to purify you. One is the physical purification, one is the spiritual purification also, which we have to strive for. Now, alhamdulillah, someone has performed their wudu. Now they intend standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Ya Bani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. That, O son of Adam, children of Adam, that when you come to the masjid, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ, you should take pride as far as your zina, your appearance is concerned. That your clothes must be in a proper manner. One of the conditions before performing salah is that our clothes must be pure. The clothes must be pure. Safe from all impurities. If we know there's some impurity in our clothes, we have to change those clothes. Our body has to be pure also. Our body has to be pure. We have to take a ghusl before we come. We have to take a bath. That is if a bath is incumbent upon us. Sometimes circumstances, a bath becomes compulsory upon us. One is to have the sunnah bath for the Jummah, but one is to have the compulsory bath. There are different times, doesn't have to be Jummah also, but different times. Whenever we want to make ibadah, or even throughout the whole life, we should not stay in janabah for a little while also. We should not stay in Janabah for a little while. And as far as ghusl is concerned, maybe some of us are unaware that there are certain acts which have to be carried out for that ghusl, for that bath to be complete. One is gargling the mouth to such an extent that everything is wet inside. And to clean the nose, some a'imma say that you make sure that the water reaches the softness of the nose. And then to see that your whole body is wet. Every part, every aspect of your body. Your hair, see that you wash your hair properly. The water reaches the bottom also. Those are the faraiz, according to some of the a'imma. So as far as if the body is not pure, we have to purify the body. How are we going to purify the body? By making ghusl. Sometimes the body is purified, but then we are in need of wudu, so we have to make wudu. And then we come and stand, we have to see that we have, the place must be pure itself. It is no use, you make a perfect wudu, you have a perfect ghusl, everything. But then the place where you are performing your salah, the place is not pure. It's not tahar, the tuhur. So that place where you are performing salah has to be pure also. Now, alhamdulillah, the whole earth has been made a musalla for us. This is the khususiyat of this ummah, made for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are not in need of a sajada or a clock. If we don't have one, we can perform salah anyway, as long as we know that there is no impurity there. Or we know that no impurity was thrown here before. Sometimes you may be traveling, you happen to read on a piece of grass. Your salah is permissible there, but sometimes you will feel wetness in the grass. So then you take precaution there. You don't know whether it is water, or it may be the urine of some dog, or so that will have been running around. So then you look for a dry spot. But the place where you are performing salah has to be pure. Also a condition, another condition is that your clothes must be pure. Your clothes must be pure from all impurities. And clothes also, respected friends, how we come dressed to the masjid also. That is another aspect. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, An Abi Hurairata radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Ma asfala min al-ka'bain min al-izari fafinnaf. This hadith, Rawahul Bukhari. In this hadith of Bukhari, there is no mention of bataran. There is no mention of pride. Straight, simple hadith. Some of us sometimes just want to take zahiri hadith. When it suits us, we take zahiri hadith. So why can we not take zahiri hadith here? Ma asfala min al-ka'bain, min al-izari, fafin nar. Whatever is below the ankles, the garment that you are wearing, whatever is below the ankle, fafin nar. It is in the fire of Jahannam. Ani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yanduru Allah. Allah will not even look at, on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will not even look at, according to some riwayat, wala yukallimuhum Allah. Allah will not even speak to them. To whom? إلى من جر إزاره بطرًا. One who will drag his clothes, or he will wear his clothes below the ankles because of pride. Now we say some of us say the shirt, the condition here is bataran because of pride. It is a little pride in us that is preventing us from raising those trousers of ours above our ankles. It is a little bit pride that is still left in there. That's why we use this as a, no, I have no pride. How do you know you don't have pride? Allah alone knows the condition of your heart. The condition of your heart, Allah alone knows. If you don't have pride, why don't you listen to what Rasulullah had to say? Love that trouser of yours. And Allahu Akbar, I can't imagine how people can walk in the street with such trousers. It is way, way below the shoe. And what najasa they may be picking up along the way, and then coming to stand in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we expect everything to be pure. Maybe you believe, okay, nothing wrong, it can be below the ankle. But this, you can see it way below your shoes also. You can see it hanging right down. It's folded when you come into the masjid. What najasa, what impurities you must be picking up along the way. And then we come and stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that little portion of our, sometimes it's impurities. Sometimes it can be impurity. I'm not saying definitely 100%, but we should be cautious of this. We should be cautious of this. One person came in Masjid Nabawi, performed Salah. Rasulullah told him, go and repeat your Salah. Repeated his Salah, he kept quiet. One of the Sahaba asked him, you commanded him and then you kept quiet. Rasulullah said, because his trousers were below, his arm was below the ankle, that's why I told him to repeat his Salah. Another incident, Rasulullah said about a certain Sahabi, what a good man. What a good person. If it wasn't for his long hair, and his clothes being below his ankles, he would have been a very good man. He would have been beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't for his long hair, and it wasn't for his clothes below the ankles. The man heard it, the Sahabi heard it, immediately he cut his hair. Immediately he cut his trousers. He cut his garment and made it above the ankles. ثلاثة لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا ينظر إليهم ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم ولهم عذاب أليم. قال فقرأها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاث مرار. Abu Dharr is the narrator of this hadith, and he says Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم emphasized three times. Three times Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that Allah will not look, Allah will not speak, Allah will not purify on the day of Qiyamah. That person who will take his garment below his ankles. Abu Dharr asked him. Abu Dharr was concerned. He always was taking from Rasulullah. Khabu wa khasiru. Ya Rasul. In other words, they'll be destroyed. They'll be doomed, such people, these three people. Who are these three people? Man hum ya Rasulullah? Ya Rasulullah, who are they? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned Al-Musbil. Finished. No condition but rather than Al-Musbil, one who takes his garment below the ankle. Number two, وَالْمُنْفِقْ سِلْعَتَهُ بِالْحَلْفِ الْكَاذِبِ. One who spends, and then you know, he wants to mention to people, oh, how much I spent. And besides the spending, he takes false oaths also, while making the transaction also. One, when making the transaction, Allah, there is nothing wrong with this. You will never find a better garment than this. And I'm giving, Allah, this is the best price. You know, the بِالْحَلْفِ الْكَاذِبِ. All false oaths. Allah will not even look at him. Allah will not even speak to him. Allah will not even purify him. And the third one, Wal-Mannan and Mannan is one who spends, you know, who spends and then he reminds people about what he did for them. Oh, you know, if it wasn't for me, you would have been in the doldrums today. You would have been out on the streets. Allah does not like such people. What I'm trying to emphasize, respected brothers, is let us look at the world today. Let us look at the environment today. How we become affected. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought the Sahaba to a certain level. The Sahaba kiram, my respected brothers, you know, they used to do things that was opposite of what the kuffar used to do. They used to oppose them in every aspect, as far as their dress was also concerned. As far as the address was also concerned, Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, Yawm al-Ghadir, the day of Ghadir, the day of, you know, when according to some 70 Sahaba were massacred, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded Ali radiallahu ta'ala, commanded Ali to wear the imamah. فَإِنَّ الْعَمَاعِمْ سِيمَاءُ الْإِسْلَامِ. The imamah, the turbans. The turbans are the signs. Are the signs of Muslimin, the sign of Islam. Today we walk in the street, what difference can people say there's a Muslim or a non-Muslim? What difference is there between us? وَهِيَ الْحَاجِزُ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. وَهِيَ الْحَاجِزُ, it is a difference between the Muslimin and the Mushrikeen. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Ali رضي الله عنه. Hafidh ibn Hajar, in his Kitab Fathul Bari, from Tabarani, he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اعتموا, make a habit, in other words, wear those imamas, wear those turbans. تزودوا حلما, as far as your forbearance and perseverance is concerned, it will increase, it will help you. And Sahaba Ikram could know to us. Actually, what we say? No, well, you know the heat of Arabia. Who could bear the heat? Allah was not dependent on the turban. When Buhayra saw the cloud covering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you think Allah needed the imamas? You think Allah needed the turbans? Allah could have put a covering over between the sun and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was so difficult for Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But there was a difference as far as the dress was concerned also. But like I said, today we see in the environment, what these kuffar tell us? No, you must make your trousers longer. But as far as dear women are concerned, make it as short as possible. You will never find any woman, any of the women whose garment is below the ankles. When they wear those jeans also, it's above the ankles. Those ankles of theirs are exposed. Complete opposite of the sunnah. And they brainwashed us like this. They will do everything against the sunnah. And they expect us to do it. Whereas the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely against what they are doing today. Rasulullah said a time will come before Qiyamah when men will imitate women and women will imitate men. When men will imitate women and women will imitate men. We question ourselves, are we seeing it today or not? I'm giving you from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A time will come when men will imitate women and women will imitate men. They encourage the woman to as short as possible. In this month of summer, you don't know where to walk, where to look sometimes. The way they are dressed. But the dress code that Allah has prescribed to us through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned to us, instructed us, there is so much movement in there. If we adopt those methods, if we adopt that lifestyle also, those teachings of Rasulullah, you know the respect we will earn when we go out also. And people will come and see, you know, this is something. I went the other day for the visa. I had to go to the Bank of America. Woman comes, can I ask you an impolite question? What do you represent like this? I say, I represent Islam. Quietly she walked away. Thank you very much. Very nice. You look very nice in it. They see the difference. They'll come and ask you, who are you then? Because when we dress like them, they won't come and ask you. Who are they going to come and ask you? Our dress is not even a form of dawah. Our dress today is not even a form of dawah. Whereas we as the ummati of Rasul, we have been sent for the objective of dawah, inviting people towards Allah. We think, no, we'll give money, we'll lot of masahif here, a lot of books here, that is our form of dawah only. That is not the only form of dawah. فَإِنَّهُ حَاجِدٌ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now we'll ask, sahih riwayat or not? Some of us only one from Bukhari Muslim. But who's writing that? The one who wrote the commentary in Bukhari. Hafiz ibn Hajar. And we'll say Hafiz ibn Hajar is lying. He's putting weak riwayat there. Daif riwayat. Maybe as far as the Sanadan is concerned, he may be weak. But what is weak, what is daif, we are not prepared to accept. We don't have this claim of my prevention is better than cure. So respected brothers, when we come and stand in front of Allah, come stand in a manner that Allah will be happy with you. Stand in a manner that Allah will send His mercy upon you. Don't come and stand in front of Allah when Allah is not even prepared to look at you on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will not even speak to you on the day of Qiyamah. You think you are speaking to Allah, you think Allah is going to speak to you when you are standing like this. And then some of us stand so very proudly in Salah also. Stand humbly. Make an appearance of humbleness sometimes. Sometimes make an appearance of humbleness. Really, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will bring humility in us, will bring humbleness in us. It will bring simplicity. And if we adopt this, you know what simplicity can be in our lives. You know how much we'll save on clothes also. That money we can rather use it for the upliftment of deen elsewhere. So cleanliness, our clothes must be also. Our satr has to be covered. Our satr has to be covered. Certain parts of the body have to be covered. So from the navel to below the knees. Yeah, you will find some hadith. You will find in some hadith where Rasulullah SAW performed the salah and the top was open. Now was that the everyday practice of Rasulullah SAW? What we say? No, just hadith. But was that the everyday practice of Rasulullah SAW? What was his everyday practice? Some riwayat you will find Rasulullah SAW bought izar. He bought an izar. He did not wear it. One of the sahaba asked him, Anas bin Malik or Abdullah bin Umar asked him, Ya Rasulullah, about the izar. He says, yes, it is more. It will cover the satr more. It is good for when you are riding. It is good for when you are riding also. It will cover the body more. They used to have those cloths, they used to wear those loincloths, you know, in those times. It is preferable. It is preferable that you wear that because it covers the... I have been commanded that I should cover my body while I sleep also. While I sleep also. So Rasulullah should take great care. Today we will find some of the brothers coming, see, they come with the short trousers. I can only suggest and show you from Sharia. When you are walking, it is below the knee. When you are standing, it is below the knee. Alhamdulillah. Your body is covered. But no sooner you bend down, no sooner that you bend down for ruku, or when you are going in sujood, the trouser is lifting. And what happens? The knee gets exposed. The knee gets exposed. Now we are performing a salah. We come in to stand in front of Allah. With those very clothes, we will never go for any appointment. I guarantee you will never go for an appointment. Important business appointment, important job appointment, we will never go with those clothes. We will not go to any courthouse with that. We will not attend any wedding function with that, with those clothes. But we come in with those clothes and stand in front of Allah. Rasulullah, his chest was open. Don't think of the conditions of that time and look at our conditions. We should be more careful. We should take more precautions. There is jawaz under certain conditions, circumstances. Circumstances, there is permissibility that if you are in a position that only the bottom portion of your clothes are pure and the top portion, then you take the top portion off and perform your salah. And in such a condition you are in that none of your clothes are impure, none of your clothes are pure, then you wear that impure cloth which will cover that part of your body which is compulsory and perform your salah. Allah is forgiving in that aspect. But now, you know, this has become a normal way of life. That we dress like the woman nowadays, and the woman dressing like the man. The way the men should be dressing, the women are dressing nowadays, and the way the woman should be dressing, the men are dressing. Allah forgive us, respected brothers. So, the clothes have to be pure. And then we have to face Qibla also. We have to face Qibla. You will find some Ainama tuallu fa thumma wajhullah. Wherever you face, you will find Allah. Yes, you will find Allah. But there are conditions also that we have to make an effort to find out where the Qibla is. We have to make an effort to find out where the Qibla is. Some tahadi has to be made. If you make an effort and then you perform your salah, and then you come to find out that your direction was off, Allah forgives you for that. Ayyumma said that is accepted, your salah will be accepted. But now you don't use your imagination, you don't use your knowledge or your cleverness, you don't even make an effort of finding out, brother, like, excuse me, can you tell me where is north, or can you tell me where the sun rises from, or, you know, make some effort, find out. Other things we can inquire. Why can't we inquire about where our Qibla is? You don't have to ask him, oh, do you know where the Qibla is? He's not going to understand. Ask him, where's north, where's south, where's east, where's west? And then ask you, why are you asking? He said, no, because I have to pray. I have to face a certain direction. There's a form of da'wah also. It's a form of da'wah. Rather than staying away or just, you know, standing anywhere and praying. Another thing, respected brothers, is the niyyah. When we are making the niyyah, what salah we are performing. What salah we are performing. We have to make the niyyah also. Now niyyah, it doesn't have to be like, you know, some of us, you know, nawaitu an usalliya lillahi rak'ataini, you know, must be in Arabic. And some, what happens, we'll find it, some brothers will come, and imam is already in Fatiha, he didn't say the salah. He's halfway through, he's about going to ruku, or imam is going to ruku. And the man will come and start his intention in Urdu or in that, you know, I'm performing two rakats further, blah, blah. By the time he's finished, the imam is also out from ruku. It happens, you'll see this. While you are walking, you can make your niyyah. Niyyah is in the heart. Niyyah is in the heart. You don't have to say it verbally. You don't have to say it verbally. While you are walking, you can make your niyyah also. And the fact that you are coming to the masjid is a form of niyyah. The fact that you are coming to the masjid, you are coming for a certain purpose. Only thing, when I am performing Fajr, Zohar, Asr, whatever it is. Now one who has performed Zohar, and he comes at the time of Asr and says, by mistake he says by verbally, I'm performing Zohar Salah. His Salah will be accepted. It's another thing if he did not perform Zohar of that day. And then he's standing for Asr Salah and he says, I'm performing Zohar. Then his Asr is not complete. Then he has to repeat that Asr Salah of his. But I mean, he has this thing. So you can say it in your heart also, in your mind, that I'm going to perform two rakat salah. And also the time of salah. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaba mawquta. The time has to be correct. Now I want to read my maghrib salah, or my maghrib salah, and already the time of Isha has come in. So now you have to make the proper intention that I am performing maghrib salah, which is one qada. One wants to read Asr Salah in the time of Zohar Salah in the time of Asr has already entered in. So you must know the time. When you're going to perform your Asr, that this is the time of Asr, I must perform within this time. This is the time of Maghrib, I must perform this time. This is the time of Zohar. It must be the correct time, the prescribed time for that Salah also. Now if we don't take these things into consideration, when we perform how we want to, when we want to, and the way we want to, and then stand in front of Allah, what power is that the salah going to have? See, Allah can accept it. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. He can forgive whatever He wants to. Besides shirk, Allah can forgive whatever He wants. There is nobody to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nobody to question Allah. But there are certain things that we have to do from our side. We have to take precaution of. We have to be cautious of. In order for us to get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when a man is cautious of his clothes, that no, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ma asfala min al-ka'bain fa fin nar. That at least, if I don't want to do it outside, at least when I'm standing in front of Allah, let me make that a habit now. Whether it's bataran or not bataran. Whether it's bataran or not bataran. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now when I stand for salah, let me stand like that. Let me stand humbly. Let me make sure that my body is pure from all impurities. My wudu is correct. The place where I'm performing is correct also. Let me make the proper intention. Let me read on the proper time also. Now the man says, Allahu Akbar. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Now he is supposed to disengage himself. He is supposed to divorce himself from everything. Allahu Akbar. Taking the name of Allah. Allah is the greatest. There is nothing great now. But today we still say, Allahu Akbar. But the office still comes to mind, and the wife still comes to mind, and the children still comes to mind, and the job still comes to mind, and everything comes to mind. Because shaitan comes back now when you're performing salah. At the time of adhan and iqama, he runs away. He doesn't want to testify. Now when salah comes, that's why Abu Hanifa, when people used to come complain to him, I've lost something, he said, perform salah. Because the level of iman and taqwa had gone down already by that time. He said, perform salah. Salah will let you, will come to find out immediately why, where you left the thing. Where you lost it. Why? Because of condition. The time was when Muslims had all their things fulfilled through salah. Today we are thinking of everything else in salah. Allah. What is the condition? What power has our salah got? What power has our salah got? when we are not even standing in the right frame of mind. When persons stand, you will find our pious predecessors, when they stood for salah, my respected brothers, they divorced themselves. That is why, inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Salah, verily salah, will prevent you from all lewdness, all immoral things. Today we perform salah after salah, salah after salah, salah after salah. But it's not taking us away, preventing us from all those immoral things. Why? Because the salah is not of that caliber. It has not reached that level. It has not reached that level. We have to make an effort, respected brother. It doesn't come in one day. It doesn't come in one week. It is an effort behind it. That every day, each and every one of us should perform a salah, that my Jummah salah must be like my last salah. I'm not going to get the opportunity again. Read it with that fervor in us. With that fervor that I may never get this. I'm going to be dying after this. I'm going to be standing in front of Allah. And then see what salah we perform. And then see the condition of our salah. We must have no guarantee that I'm going to be here for Asr salah. Think that whom you are standing in front of, Allah. That is why you say, Allahu Akbar. أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى فإن لم تكن ترى فإنه يرى. Think that you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you cannot see Him, then know that Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. So you stand with that humbleness. Some of pious predecessors, when they take the name of Allah, sometimes you know they used to fall conscious. So much of the azmat and the haiba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in their hearts. They realized who they were standing in front of. Today we come, you know, like I mentioned, up, down, hit the ground and back to town. That's our salah today nowadays. We just come, finish and go and back, you know, not worried. No, this is my last salah. This is going to be my last salah. That is one of the people who's going to get shade on the day of Qiyamah. One who has been frequent in the masjid, whose heart has been inclined, is linked to the masjid, associated with the masjid. He comes for salah and he's waiting, when is the next salah? But our salah must be like the last salah. Our asr salah must be better than our dhuhr. Our maghrib must be better than our asr. That is where Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned, if your salah is correct, then everything will be correct. But if your salah is not correct, then everything else will be incorrect also. Possibility. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Wa alayna al-balagh. الحمد لله الذي غمر العباد بلطائفه وعمر قلوبهم بأنوار الدين ووظائفه فسبحانه ما أعظم شأنه وأقوى سلطانه وأتم لطفه وأعم إحسانه أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أفاض على النفوس زوارف عوارفه وأبرز على القرائح حقائق معارفه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه مفاتيح الهدى ومسابيح الدجى وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد معاشر المسلمين اتقوا الله فإن الصلاة عماد الدين وعصام اليقين ورأس القربات وغرة الطاعات وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصوم رمضان وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خمس صلوات افترضهن الله من أحسن وضوءهن وصلاهن لوقتهن وأتم ركوعهن وخشوعهن كان له على الله عهد كان له على الله عهد أن يغفر له ومن لم يفعل فليس له على الله عهد إن شاء غفر له وإن شاء عذبه وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام والذي نفسي بيده لقد هممت أن آمر بحطب فيحطب ثم آمر بالصلاة فيؤذن لها ثم آمر رجلا فيؤم الناس ثم أخالف إلى رجل إلى رجال لا يشهدون الصلاة فأحترق عليهم بيوتهم. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين. بارك الله لنا ولكم القرآن العظيم وحمل آية والذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جوال كريم ملك قريب والرؤوف والرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة، من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل وسلم على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أصحابك النجوم بأيهم اقتديتم افتديتم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم من بعدي غرضا، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، واخذل الكفرة والمبتدعة والمشركين. اللهم شدد شملهم، اللهم مزق جمعهم، اللهم دمر ديارهم. اللهم ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين، ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم ربنا توفنا مسلمين وألحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا نداما ولا مفتونين. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم، ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم، ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم، إن عذابها كان غراما، إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم، واغفر لنا إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله تعالى يذكركم، وادعوه يستجيب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وعز وجل وأتم وأهم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تسمعون. قوموا للصلاة.